Thank you. There we go. There's the magic bell. So good afternoon, everyone. This is our CVAG Executive Committee. Today is Monday, June 27th, 2022. It's 4:30 p.m. So I hereby call this meeting to order. This meeting is being held by video telephone conference per AB 361 and findings made by CVAG. Members of the public are able to participate by Zoom or by phone. So first, if we can have a roll call, please.
Indio.
Present.
29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indians. Cabezon Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Here.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Here.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Cathedral City.
Present.
Palm Desert.
Here.
La Quinta.
Present.
Blythe.
Here.
Riverside, County of Riverside, District 1, District 2, District 3, District 4.
Here.
District 5, Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Coachella.
Here.
And Palm Springs.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I will ask Mayor Stephen Hernandez to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you could all arise and join me as we salute our nation's flag, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor. Next, we have agenda modifications. Are there any for us now, Tom or CVAG staff?
No.
Thank you. Next is public comments on agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the executive committee on agenda items only. Members of the public can raise their hand on the Zoom feature or press *9 and we will call on you to provide public comment. Jennifer, is there any public comment at this time?
We did not receive any written comments, but I do see that we have a hand raised.
Thank you. So to the caller, if you can please state your name and go ahead and provide your public comment, you'll have 3 minutes. Please begin.
Great. Thank you. My name is Brad Anderson. I currently live in the city of Rancho Mirage. I wanted to speak on item 7C and 7F. And if it's okay with the counselor or the chair, I would love to speak on item 8. Two items of the action calendar on items 8 when that comes available. And I will go ahead and speak on item 7B right now. And that, of course, that's we're going to call it the remote meeting bill, but that's the I guess reissuing of. You probably already know all this, and I'm probably the only one from the public here, but just the reissuing of the California Assembly Bill 361 to allow your board to sit out on meetings at home versus attending public venues. And I'm opposed to that, and it's probably well known throughout the rally, but I would hopefully my main concern, and I'll just restate it again, is that if you're not willing to use that bill in an ethical manner, meaning if you really have a health concern and not other reasons, how can other actions be, looked upon as being honorably done by this council? So I'm opposed to that. I'm going to go ahead and go down to item, I'm looking at the calendar here, item 7F. That's where you, where the county is, donating, I guess, 2 vehicles for the housing, OCV Housing First program. And that's all great and fair, but I think you guys should really look at the county's notes concerning this and, of course, yours, because they differ. And so that's an aspect that you may want to figure out if you go any further, because people like me just notice things like that. And I will wait for item A when that comes available, or item 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. And if you can, please provide all your public comment now. That's the way the agenda is noticed. So if you could please, I'm happy to give you another minute or two for you to provide all your public comment now so we can definitely hear it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I will go ahead and go with item 8C, and that's just your grand mission to reserve public funds, and I'm just I'm opposed to this too, just because knowing CVAG and knowing the aspects, and even how this meeting is being run today, I there's really a trust factor, and the DCE and even Ransom Raj has some issues with their program. So I would be opposed to this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'm the only one that's going to let you know about it. And let's go ahead and go down to item 8D. And that's not 8D, I'm sorry. I'm confused. On the lights, on item D on the light securitization program. I've done my own studies, believe it or not, through the town, and just non-scientific, of course, but I'm just kind of thinking that this might be a whole scam's a pretty strong word, but I see no reasoning for all these funds to be expelled on these programs, that I see no action and no savings of any time for any traffic relief. So, and that's all I have, and I will speak on non-agenda when that comes available too. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your public comment. The committee appreciates that. Jennifer, do we have any other public comment?
We do not have any other comments at this time.
Thank you. Our next item is executive director announcements, and I believe our executive director, Tom, has a few for us.
Just one, and I'll make it brief, but I do want to show a couple of slides. I had a chance this morning or midday to brag a little bit about the Coachella Valley. The western section of the Institute of Transportation Engineers had their first in-person meeting in 3 years. It was held in Palm Springs at the Renaissance. And they asked me and curiously, at least a pairing curious, me and Paul Tolette to be the luncheon speakers. And you see Supervisor Perez there along with Juan Perez at the meeting. Paul Tolette, many of you know, is the president of Golden Voice, and he puts on a few music festivals in our neck of the woods. Next. And so my part of the presentation was to talk about really exciting things like, flowcharts and intelligent transportation systems, while Paul got to talk about music festivals. We paired the luncheon presentation today. And for my part, I really did focus on our successes. And as much as we sometimes focus on the disagreements politically, next slide, I gave them seven secrets about the Coachella Valley and how we don't actually, we certainly have boundaries, city limits and the like, and tribal boundaries, but we work really well together. I gave them seven examples of that, whether they're the TUMF program or our prioritization system or signal synchronization and CV Link. So just wanted to share that all with you. It was a nice opportunity to trumpet our successes with a lot of transportation engineers from across the West. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tom, appreciate it. And then as my announcement, I see Supervisor Perez has something to add there. Supervisor?
Yeah, just very quickly, I think, Tom, you did an outstanding job, as well as Paul. And, for your consideration, in consideration of all my colleagues, you might want to see if potentially provide this type of presentation to everybody, because I think we all need a refresher. It definitely helped me connect the dots once again, as we're continuing our great work here within CVAG and within the Coachella Valley, within the Blythe area, and obviously connecting it with RCTC at that level and the rest of the county of Riverside. So just for your consideration, if you're interested in doing something like that, I think it'll be a great benefit to everybody, not only to folks that have been in CVAG for quite some time now, but even folks that have been maybe recently elected. I think they might appreciate it. So just for your consideration to think about that.
I appreciate that. I'll look for an opportunity to do that.
Thank you, Supervisor. And my announcement is just that we have General Assembly this evening at 6 p.m. So we welcome you to join us then. I know we have some embarrassing baby photos of everyone. So look out for that fun, a few other surprises. So looking forward to celebrating with you all. Next, we have consent calendar, items 7A through 7I, if there's a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Rancho Mirage, move to approve.
Laquinta, second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any discussion? I'm sorry, didn't ask for discussion. Any discussion before a vote, Mayor Furman?
Excuse me, Chair, on the minutes, I'll abstain for that. I wasn't present for the meeting.
Thank you. So we took the aye votes. Any other abstentions or no votes to note for the record? Seeing none, the consent calendar passes unanimously, noting Mayor Furman is abstaining from item 7A, which is the minutes. Now we have our discussion and action items, 8A, CVAG officer rotation for fiscal year 2022-2023. If we can have a staff report, please.
Good afternoon, honorable committee members. Jennifer Nelson, your clerk here. Before you is the annual chair and vice chair rotation for fiscal year 2022-23. We are recommending that the representative from the city of Coachella become the next chair, and the representative from the city of Desert Hot Springs serve as the vice chair. The details are in the staff report, but Tom and I are here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions for staff on that item? Or is there a motion?
And before you have one little point to remind everybody, it seems very impersonal not to name the people, but that's the way our bylaws work. It is the agency, not the person.
Thank you. So I heard a motion from
Indio.
Yo, is there a second?
Indian Wells.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, please say no, or any abstentions to note for the record. The motion passes unanimously. Congratulations to our upcoming chair, Mayor Stephen Hernandez. Very much look forward to working with you. Our next item is item 8B, CVAG fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. If we can have a staff report, please, Claude.
Sure. Thank you. Madam Chair, and good evening, Executive Committee members. You know, I presented a few weeks ago at your last meeting, actually, the fiscal year 22-23 budget, and walked you through its figures in pretty good detail. And we also overviewed at that time the direction that we were provided by both the Administrative Personnel Committee as well as the Finance Subcommittees to arrive at the budgeted figures. You know, since then, CVAG staff has been available to answer any questions and encourage feedback to further incorporate into the budget. And having received no additional questions or comments, Madam Chair, I now ask you to solicit a motion from your fellow committee members to adopt the fiscal year 22-23 budget via resolution. And just after your affirming vote, the budget will be presented to the CVAG General Assembly this evening.
Thank you, Claude. Are there any questions or comments for staff on this item before I entertain a motion? Mayor Evans from
the. I just want to say thanks to Claude and the whole team there. They've made some changes this year, new auditing firm, et cetera, and really have worked hard, obviously moving them all through the committees up to this point. So good job, and happy to make a motion to approve.
Thank you. There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Michelle, seconds.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any no votes or abstentions to note for the record? The motion passes unanimously and will be presented to the General Assembly this evening. Item 8C, Inland Regional Energy Network Agreements. If we can have a staff report, please. I see David Friedman is here to present.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Chair Halstead and committee members. And I would like to update you on staff's work on the new Inland Regional Energy Network, or IREN, since my last presentation at your February meeting. and get your approval on several actions that will allow us to begin IRAN operations in the coming months. Next slide, please. Now, IRAN, as you may recall, is a consortium of the three councils of government, or COGS, in Riverside and San Bernardino counties, being us, CBAG, the Western Riverside Council of Governments, or WRCOG, and San Bernardino Associated Governments, or SANBAG, and we're all under the auspices for IRAN purposes of the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC. Next slide, please. Now, IRAN has a substantial budget totaling $65 million through 2027, or about $11 million a year, and I'll speak about our sectors shortly. Now, this funding comes from customers of the investor-owned utilities, or IOUs, such as Southern California Edison and SoCal Gas, through the on-bill public goods charge levied by the IOUs. Next slide, please. Over the past few months, CBAG staff has worked very closely with our colleagues in Western Riverside and San Bernardino on IRAN's contractual and government and governance agreements. I'll walk you through them in the next slides. First, you have the many cities, tribal governments, and our two counties, who are both IRAN's customers and the agencies that are members of our respective COGS. Next, you have the three COGS, CBAG, WRCOG, and SANBAG, who exercise overall authority over IRAN. After that, you have WRCOG, which has been designated in the Memorandum Agreement, or MOA, to represent the three COGs as the administrative lead COG for IRAN, with responsibility for managing all invoicing, purchasing, and contracts. Now, WRCOG carries out that role in coordination with SoCalGas, which was designated by the CPUC to serve as IRAN's fiscal agent, with authority to disperse the public goods charge of funds that I mentioned, the $66 million funds, $11 million a year, to IRAN in accordance with the CPUC rules. Now, that process is largely governed by the programs agreement with SoCalGas. And then you have the IRAN Executive Committee with three votes for each of the three COGs. And the Governance and Operations Charter makes the IRAN Executive Committee responsible for IRAN's high-level decisions, such as budget, procurement, and strategy. And the charter also establishes processes and channels for effective and transparent communication and decision-making by the IRAN teams at each of the COGs. The programs agreement, the MOA, and the charter are in your agenda packet, and I will be recommending their approval at the end of my presentation. The most important part of IRAN is, of course, our programs. As we are getting closer to launch, I would like to give you a preview of our upcoming sectors and programs. First, we have codes and standards, which CBAG will lead. Our main objective is to increase compliance with the California Energy Code through in-depth quarterly training programs for building departments and building industry workers, and provide technical assistance to our member agencies. One example is the program we held last month on the new Solar App Plus solar permitting application and the California Energy Commission's CALAB funding for its implementation, which was attended by staff from several of your cities as well as Riverside County staff. The Energy Commission launched the CALAB program on June 1, and we're planning a follow-up webinar through IRAN on July 27 with more details on CALAB and a demonstration of Solar App Plus. Next is our public sector, which will provide technical assistance and energy efficiency upgrades for government agencies and tribes. In this program, we will be able to provide partial funding for upgrades that reduce energy consumption in municipal buildings such as city halls, fire departments, senior centers. And then finally, we have the workforce education and training sector, and that covers both the existing workforce and partnerships with educational bodies to train the next generation of energy efficiency workers. This program also includes our Rentern Fellowship programs to embed recent college students and graduates directly at our member agencies to have them work on energy efficiency programs and gain on-the-ground training. Next slide, please. So we have a few next steps before we can begin those programs. First is approval of these agreements, the three agreements, by each of the COGs, starting with CBAG at this meeting. Next up is WRCOG. Their Administration and Finance Committee approved the agreements earlier this month, and the WRCOG Executive Committee will consider them in August. And finally, the SANBAG Executive Committee is scheduled to approve the agreements in September. Following those agreements, we'll form the IRAN Executive Committee, And then on a parallel track, we will be engaging consultants to assist us in program implementation. We expect to launch the RFP shortly with selection in late August following evaluation of the responses. Next slide, please. Now, staff has a two-part recommendation. First, authorize the executive director to finalize and execute the programs and budgets agreement, the memorandum agreement, and the governance and operations charter for the Inland Regional Energy Network, or IREN, program. And second, delegate the chair of the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, or when absent, the vice chair, and then the executive director or his designee as the CBAC voting representative on the IREN executive committee. And that concludes my presentation, and I am available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So appreciate your expertise for this committee and lending it to CBAC. Thank you. Any questions for staff on this item? Or is there a motion?
Move approval, La Quinta.
Second, Rancho Mirage.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any no votes or abstentions to note for the record? Motion to approve passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Friedman.
Thank you.
Next up is item 8D, CV Sync update and contract amendment for construction management services. If we can have a staff report, please.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and Executive Committee members. We have an update for our CV Sync project, along with a contract amendment for construction management services. So we've been working on this project for a little over a year, and even though it seems like it's a construction project, the construction part is almost done, and it's going to turn into a technology project, but the construction side has mostly been working on conduit. Conduit everywhere in every city, every jurisdiction, the pool boxes that they connect to, we've been repairing them, we've been installing new, you've probably seen crews out all over the place. And the other thing is that we've been working at actual intersections. Highlighted here is my favorite, a purple controller in Cathedral City. 139 intersections, everybody's jurisdiction that's participating. And you've probably seen some of the equipment on the right. There's new detectors that use radar and video detection instead of the old loops. And we've also got what we call roadside units that we'll be using for connected vehicles and for monitoring this average speed and distance traveled and other types of analytical tools. So that's the work we've been doing for construction. And we're about to turn the page to technology. Kind of in between there is the Regional Transportation Management Center. And this is one of the rooms within CVAG that we gutted, and we replaced it with this, which is nearly complete, the Regional Transportation Management Center that every jurisdiction has access to. So it's one transportation management center, but all the cities have access to it within their city's jurisdiction. And uniquely, we have located one of these transportation operation centers within Caltrans District 8 and within the county. So they will have access through our regional TMC to their signals as well. And as far as I know, that's a very unique situation that we're doing to coordinate. As we're moving into the next phase, I guess I would say, which is technology, the key to this is fiber optic cable. On the bottom on the left is actual the cable we're using. It's 144 strands of glass cable. Fiber optic, which travels at the speed of sound, just about speed of light. Sorry. Phase one was 36 miles. Phase two, which is coming up, is going to be over 90 miles. You see some smaller spools, and the design team on the right, including yours truly, and standing in front of these big spools, we were able to get in line, first in line, and get supply of this fiber optic cable, which is very hard to come by right now. We're competing with what I would call the big boys. And getting these supplies. But fiber optic cable and then the hardware and software that connects to it is the next phase. A lot less that you'll be seeing in the field. More of it's going to be in computers and behind the scenes, which will be done by the end of, is scheduled to be done by the end of this calendar year. We won an award already for our planning of this project from the American Planning Association at our region in California. We'll hopefully parlay this into a statewide award. But again, it was the planning, the early planning that put us in a position for this project to be successful and continues to be successful. We're getting ready now for phase two. Phase two is 21 more corridors. Phase one was three corridors, Washington, Ramon, and Highway 111. The design is complete on phase two. All we have to do now is knock down a couple more dominoes. The CTC is meeting this week. Part of their process is they will approve some additional funds for us. Once they do that, which I believe will be maybe tomorrow, I haven't followed the agenda item, but it will be this week. Once that's done, District 8 has the green light to give us the green light to go out for bid. So with any luck, we'll be out to bid in July, by the end of July. We need help with this, and that's the second part of this presentation. And we'd like to get this project awarded by the fall so that we'll be underway in this still calendar year. So very ambitious schedule, and we're still on track with phase one. TKE Engineering was selected in phase one as part of the formal Caltrans selection process, competitive with, I think, four different companies applying. They were selected. It's actually a team of five consultants. The expertise needed for this type of project is significant. It takes actually a team of different consultants to provide the expertise and the certifications necessary. When we awarded this, we did talk in our request for proposals, and we talked about a pre-bid that upon good performance, and we're very happy, we would have the option, we CVAG, to extend this contract, and that's what we're doing. They've spent the last year developing additional knowledge, specific knowledge to our desert, and building relationships, and that's what really is important to you all. They've developed relationships with your staff. They've worked hard to be between CVAG and the contractor and your jurisdictional staffs. They've also managed in their first phase, the fee was 15% of the contract. They've been able to knock it down to 12% given their learning curve on what we've been doing. It's a big sticker, but we need their assistance to get this big. It's a $60 million project. It's probably, especially combined with phase one, it's certainly the biggest signal synchronization ITS project west of the Mississippi, perhaps in the U.S. I'm not positive on that, but certainly in California. And we need their assistance. And if we have a little sticker shock at the contract, just to give you context, phase one, it was 15%. It was still a very large, significant project. Phase two is triple the project, but it's a smaller percentage. So it is consistent with industry standards in their fee. It's based on their experience in phase one, and staff is recommending that the executive director be authorized to execute amendment number one to the contract with TK Engineering. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Eric, for your work on this. Very much appreciate that in the staff report. Are there any questions for staff at this time? Or is there a motion to approve or motion at all? Supervisor Spiegel.
I don't want to appear picky. I was trying to text Tom and I didn't get it sent quick enough. In the reference in the agenda item and on the recommendation, it gives an amount and it's rounded up on the actual amendments. So when we're making a motion, it's giving a specific amount on the motion. Whoever is going to recommend the motion, it's not going to match what's actually on the amendments. So I know it's picky, but I've seen him kick back on legal misinformation. So I just want to point that out.
Thank you, Supervisor, for pointing that out. We appreciate it. Staff, do you have a response there?
We will ensure that the actual contract is consistent with your recommendation.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions or feedback? Mayor Gutierrez.
No, I'm okay.
You unmuted, so I thought that was a raised hand. Anything else? No. Or can I entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion, India.
Thank you. A motion to approve staff recommendation with the change that Supervisor Spiegel recommended.
LaQuinta, second.
Thank you. I heard a motion by Indio and a second by LaQuinta. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any no votes or abstentions to note for the record? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Appreciate that staff report, Eric. Next item is item 9A through 9J. You can see there for the members of the public and committee members that we have a number of informational items there that don't warrant discussion or action, but are really important updates about what CVAG is doing at our various committee levels and staff levels. Next is item 10, our legislative items. Aaron Sassy was unable to be here today, but we do have CVAG staff, Emmanuel Martinez. Would you like to give a short staff report at this time, Emmanuel?
Absolutely.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. Emmanuel Martinez, I was transitioning to the panel, so sorry for the few second delay, but very briefly, to keep you apprised of what's going on in Sacramento and Washington, D.C., the big news this week for the committee, I'll start off with legislation, the three bills that the committee took a position on, which was a position to oppose unless amended, on three bills, AB 2237, AB 2438, and AB 1778. Without getting in too much into the weeds, essentially these bills would infringe upon your authority to allocate local transportation funds to projects that are your priorities. That sums up what these bills would do. But the good news is that one of the bills, AB 2237, did get held up in committee in the Senate. The other two bills, I'll start off with the one that we have most concerns with, AB 2438. That one would allow the CTC and the Air Resources Board to prioritize projects and tell us how we should use our local funds. That bill is set for a hearing tomorrow. AB 1778, which is a little bit less egregious, ties transportation funds to Healthy Places Index, was also substantially amended. That goes up for a hearing tomorrow in Senate Transportation. We'll continue to work with RCTC. There are still concerns with these bills despite the amendments. So we'll just make sure that our concerns are addressed as these bills move through the process in coordination with all your jurisdictions as well as with RCTC. The other big item just want to update you on is the state budget. There seems to be an agreement reached between the legislature and the administration. The floor report in both the Senate and the Assembly were published this morning. There's over 29 budget trailer bills. We're looking at the ones that are pertinent to us. But just to be very, very brief on the transportation side, there's $10.8 billion for transportation over multiple years. Over half of that would be is proposed to be allocated in the next fiscal year. And just very quickly, two programs within that package I want to highlight is the active transportation program. There's $1 billion allocated to that program. However, the language is silent on whether it should be used for augmentation for cycle 5 or all for this cycle. So we'll continue to work with our lobbyists to inquire with CTC as to their interpretation and how these funds would be used. The other is $100 million for the Clean California Grant Program, which we were successful in securing some funds for Connector in Cathedral City and also in the city of Coachella. This is a new program that I think our jurisdictions could also be successful in securing some funds. And obviously there's tons of millions of dollars for other programs. We'll continue to monitor these as these bills are heard on the Senate and Assembly floor and the deals are finalized. On the federal side, the very quick highlight is earmarks. We did get Senator Padilla to submit our request for $3 million for flooding and blow sand pre-construction funding. So that is in Fort Padilla's office. However, it's still early. This past couple weeks, the House spent time marking up bills, so the 12 appropriation bills, which will then, after they're done, will go to the Senate to begin negotiations. But just do want to let you know of that good news. And also our Congressman Reese did submit some earmark requests from some local jurisdictions for Indio, as well as for Desert Hot Springs, actually for the bridges over the water, which is tied to our flooding and blowed sand. So that's good news. So we'll continue to monitor those earmark requests and be supportive of them working with our federal lobbyists. So to be brief, that's my legislative update. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Martinez. Appreciate that. Are there questions or comments? I see Mayor Evans, La Quinta.
Good question, Emmanuel. Based on our opposition of the three bills and the two going to committee, will those that opposition letter forward, is somebody speaking on our behalf tomorrow at those two hearings?
Yes, we'll coordinate with our state lobbyist, Ken Valentine, with political group.
Thanks.
Are there questions or comments? I don't see any. Thank you so much for your work on this. Really important for our entire region. Appreciate you keeping us updated. Next, we have public comments on non-agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the executive committee on items of general interest within the purview of this committee. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. Jennifer, do we have any public comment?
I do believe I see a hand raised, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson has joined us again. Go ahead and please provide your public comment. You'll have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Brad Anderson. I currently live in the city of Ransom Raj. I just want to take a moment of your time again to bring up the topic of how this CVAG organization has limited the public accessibility to your public perceived public meetings. This is really important, and I think it's being overlooked for whatever political reason that may be. But as stated, I would like to see this organization return to best practices of California public meetings, and that includes allowing the public to speak on items when they're presented to the committee or board or whoever, trustees, after consideration of those items. And by not doing that, you're really hampering the public's input and participation and monitoring of those organizations. Like given today, for example, you or the chair didn't allow me to speak on items when they were presented to you, and you limited and eliminated minorities of these verbal testimonies of staff members. So you impeded my ability to have information, and that's wrong, you know. And there's no reason for it except I can't even guesstimate why you would do such a thing. But hopefully you can, you know, go back to best practices for California for public meeting agenda items and non-agenda items, and don't limit people's times like you have on this topic right here. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Jennifer, is there any other public comment at this time?
I do not see any other comments, Chair.
Thank you. And there was no written comment provided ahead of the meeting, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. And if I can just ask CVAG staff or our attorney to respond to the allegations that were made in the public comment, just as a point of personal privilege, and for the public who is listening in, could you just detail how our meeting notice and public comment follows best practices and aligns with the Brown Act, please?
And Mike, maybe I'll provide a little background and you could respond on the legal front.
Sure.
And a little background on this. This is not a new process. We've been running these meetings the same way now for a few years. And as you heard from our chair, when we did have a member of the public speak at the beginning, that person was allowed to speak on any item that was on the agenda. And with respect to virtual meetings, as we pointed out in our staff reports to all the committees, we will be surveying the committee members about whether to continue with virtual meetings, and there might be a mix. I sure hope we have a General Assembly in person next year, and we may have some meetings that are continue to be virtual. And for the fine residents of Blythe, California, or Desert Hot Springs, or Coachella, getting on a virtual meeting is more convenient and does provide more options. And so there is some irony with some of the criticism we continue to hear from one person in particular. I'll turn it over to Mike for probably a much more thoughtful response on the legality.
Thanks, Tom. The Brown Act requires that a legislative body provide the public with an opportunity to comment before consideration of an item or before an action is taken. Public agencies, generally speaking, do this in one of two ways. One is to allow the public an opportunity to comment at the beginning of the meeting, during which time the member of the public may comment on any item of business listed on the agenda. That is the way your agenda is currently structured. The other method is to allow members of the public to speak to each individual item on the agenda as it comes up for consideration by the board. I'm sure that all of you, being elected officials from your respective agencies, are familiar with this, and that your agency does it one of those two ways. This body has chosen to comply with the Brown Act by the first method, namely allowing members of the public at the outset of the meeting to use their allotted time to comment on any item that that they wish to speak to. And this is fully compliant with the Act insofar as it allows the public to speak on items of business listed on your agenda before you consider and take action on them, so as to basically give you the benefit of hearing what the public has to say before you consider the item. This is entirely up to your board, how you wish to comply with the Act, whether you wish to continue to do it the way you've been doing it, or whether you wish to allow members of the public to speak on each separate item as it arises on your agenda. It's entirely your discretion, but as a legal matter, both methods are compliant with the Brown Act. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the explanation, and thank you to members of the committee. I know that CVAG takes transparency and following the Brown Act and other issues very, very seriously. And I just like to correct the record if there's misinformation about the legality of practices for the committee members and for members of the public. So with that, our last item before adjournment is announcements. So the next meeting of the executive committee will be held on Monday, September 26th. At 4:30 p.m. by Zoom webinar. And the next meeting of our General Assembly will be held in less than an hour today, Monday, June 27th at 6 p.m. We're very much looking forward to celebrating with you at the General Assembly at 6 p.m. So I'm looking forward to seeing you then, and we will go ahead and adjourn the Executive Committee. Thank you all.